Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonniewell and Julie.
Hayden.
Hayden.
Not Julie Hayden Bonniewell. True, straight up, the Chuck and Julie Show.
No.
Oh, okay, I'm stealing your words.
Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show.
That's right.
True, straight up. Brought to you by?
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness with Dr. Jack Schaefer, Advanced Chinese Medicine and Acupuncture, Denver Cytogenics with Dr. Julie McCallan, and happytrees.co. We're getting on the phone here real quick, Todd Watkins. Todd Watkins was a candidate for chair of the Colorado Republican Party.
Vice chair.
He's a grassroots activist. He is down. He's with us right now. He's down at the state capitol where apparently 6-1 people opposed to this progressive gun grab bill have showed up to testify against it. So, hey, Todd, what's going on there? And what, I know there have been some amendments and stuff with this assault weapons ban, but what's the latest? You're live from the capitol.
So I just testified and I've walked out and I'm enjoying the scenic downtown Denver. So there have not been amendments. Representative Epps, the main sponsor of this bill, has indicated that she has an amendment. And it sounds like if what she's telegraphing is correct, it's going to be significantly narrowed to really just sounds like bump stocks, because she keeps asking, you know, the people testifying in favor, or I'm sorry, in opposition to this bill, what they think about bump stocks, especially if the person has any sort of, you know, law enforcement or military background.
As it stands right now, what is the bill proposing to do?
Well, it's, so if people remember the leaked version,
right.
It defines what an assault weapon is, and that's kind of a long story, a long discussion. But initially, there was a prohibition on essentially possessing any so defined weapon. And that if one possessed a weapon prior to the enactment of this bill, you know, upon POLA signing it, then that owner, that possessor, was required to show proof of lawful ownership.
Wow.
Grandfathering that person in. And if you're not able to produce a receipt, you know, bill of sale, the transfer paperwork for that weapon, then law enforcement is instructed to seize the weapon, and you have 3 days to present lawful ownership, or you will be charged as a criminal possessor, as like class two misdemeanor, I think it was, and your gun would be destroyed. So obviously we have Fourth and Fifth Amendment problems with that, probably some Sixth Amendment too. So that's out of it. Now it's a prohibition on the manufacture, sale, transfer, or importation of a, you know, thusly defined assault weapon into the state of Colorado. It's still, you know, abominable, this bill.
Right.
But they at least took that part out. And if I'm reading the tea leaves that I saw there correctly, she's getting a lot of flack for this. RMGO and at least two or possibly three other gun rights types organizations essentially said the minute POLA signs this, if he does, we're going to sue. We've got it ready. Here's they held up paper. Here it is right here. We're ready to file. Go ahead and pass this, please.
What is the, you know, I was there the last time when they ended up having recalls when they were going for incredible gun grab bills. And I was astonished by the disdain with which the Democrat lawmakers treated the people testifying. Is that there, or are they at least behaving themselves politely this time? Polite.
So this is in the Judiciary Committee. They haven't seen. There was one, African American female who took the gavel for a little bit while the chair, went to powder his nose or whatever, and she was rather heavy handed in shutting down. 2 minutes, it's over. Be quiet. Go away. And she asked one of the witnesses. She was confounded by this notion of, God-given rights. She was just absolutely just beside herself that somebody would say God-given rights. And there was, you could hear an uncomfortable, hissing among all the lefties in the audience. And she said, I want to understand, that with the separation of church and state in the law, that I don't know how you square this with the fact that it's not God doesn't, it's government that grants you your rights.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
I swear to the God that has been separated from the state that he said that. So wow. when I got my,
did you ever read the U.S. Constitution?
Clearly not. So I opened up with that. I want to set something straight that the government does not grant us our rights. Our rights are inherent upon our birth. Government's job is to secure and safeguard and protect my rights. But my personal protection, my safety, my own security, that's my responsibility. And I have a right to do that.
Right. Well, the God-given rights, they're only there if it's a right that the Democrat wants you to have, right?
Want to give it to you.
That's true.
God to give you anything, but the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of and the Declaration of Independence all talk about God-given rights.
That's wrong. That's illegal to even suggest that. I was reading one of the Twitter things, Todd, that somebody was asking the people when the pro-ban people were talking, they asked them, what caliber is used in these guns? And no one, even including Denver's DA, knew. So that's, is that true?
Ask her what kind of, what is an AR-15 chambered in, essentially? What kind of bullet does that thing shoot out? And she said, I honestly don't know. They went down the hole. There was four or five people at the table there. Not a one of them could answer it. And, it'll eviscerate you. Assault weapons. And mind you, the assault weapon definition, it encompasses a very broad range of weapons. Yeah. But somehow every assault weapon evidently has a muzzle velocity that is four times that of a handgun. I don't know what handgun they're talking about, but it must be a handgun that you could actually outrun if the rifle is four times that muzzle velocity. AR-15, essentially a 5.56 or 223, is right around, 2,800 feet per second. 308s can get a little closer to 3,000. And, they kept trying to say that assault weapons are far, a much faster muzzle velocity than a bolt action gun. That's just patently untrue.
Well, there you go.
No way, no how.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Right, but the fact is, let me ask you this, though, because the Democrats are tricky. Is there any concern, or am I just way too conspiracy minded these days? So they're going to make it sound as if there's going to be an amendment, maybe so everybody goes home and quits paying attention and then bring it back up again without the amendment. I mean, I'm assuming you guys and the Rocky Mountain gun owners and people are keeping a close eye on the maneuverings, right?
Oh, no, you've got to trust your legislators. I mean, they wouldn't do something.
I'm sorry.
So whether she amends this or not, here in committee, it sounds to me, it's just the oracle of Todd, it's that the subsequent committees, either because it'll go to a second reading, then to the committee of the whole, and it sounds like the Senate is probably not very happy with this. And I've been told that Polis has essentially said he's not going to sign it. And I'm going to hypothesize that has to do with his presidential aspirations, yeah. that he doesn't want to ascend the national stage with the albatross of, you know, gun grab around right. around his neck. And because he has really gone to great lengths to characterize himself as a libertarian, a very moderate, you know, Kennedy era kind of Democrat, not a totalitarian at all. And it would be hard for him to walk away from this one.
All right. Well, let me ask you.
The idea that he's a Kennedy-like Democrat is so funny.
Right, Paul. But it's
hysterical. Even the more conservative media outlets have had him on and said, "You're one of the only Democrats to end the pandemic."
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Oh, my God. Call me. Please.
Hey.
Let's talk yeah. about that.
Let me ask you.
On a slightly different right. subject, I didn't know if you had read about our compatriot, Anna Ferguson, who's the secretary of the Colorado GOP, got a huge hit piece on Colorado Times, a Recorder, which is just a left-wing, super left-wing, yeah. run by Jason Saltzman, with tranny activists as reporters and other things. But I just finished talking with her to congratulate her. In the yeah. entire history of the Republican Party in Colorado, never has the secretary, who's not considered a very powerful position per se, come under such an amazing attack. So she must be doing something right for them to get that excited.
Yeah, yeah. For her to draw the ire of Eric Malbec, that's yes. I applaud her for that. It's when I ran for sheriff down here in the last go round, and he hit me a couple times. You know, he's one of those psychotic constitutionalists, and you know, believes that the rights belong to us and not the government type thing. You know, same kind of mantra. But I'm happy for her that she yeah. drew fire from Colorado politics. They are a miserable publication, and I throw up a little in my mouth calling them a publication.
Well, then they're not.
Well,
to clarify,
you said Colorado politics.
Yeah, you mean Colorado Times Reporter.
I agree with you on that too, but Colorado politics, which is run by Anschutz, isn't quite as
they're like rhino-y.
As Colorado Polls and Colorado Times Recorder.
Well, and the whole point is they portray themselves as sort of fake news organizations, and then they quote each other back and forth, and it's all the right. same people. And they went to extensive lengths. I mean, they've researched her Twitter accounts. They bothered to listen to her on our show repeatedly.
She did poorly in French in sixth grade, you know.
Right. Yeah. It's like, and that's what I said. It's you know that between Anna and Dave Williams and Priscilla, I mean, they must be a little bit worried if they're bothering to take that much. Either that or it's a boring day. I don't know.
No, they always have, you know, they need a lot of work, as Todd has indicated. You know, Julie and I were having lunch with a donor the other day, or a potential donor. And he said, "Boy, you know, I read about you in the Colorado Polls, and I read about you in the Colorado Times Recorder." And I said, "You know, they were attacking you." And I said, he said, "Man, this must be a great guy. He must be a great guy. I've got to meet this great human being." And I think Anna's going to get the same one. Oh, wow. This sounds like a great human being. We've got to talk to her.
Yeah, I'm disappointed that they haven't come after me as the vice chair in El Paso County. Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they'll get
I don't know.
Well, the key to it is come on our show.
Yes, now you will.
You have. Yeah. So you'll be attacked now.
Hey, listen, Tom. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, maybe I need to call Eric. Say, where's the love, man? Come on. I'm at least as crazy as Anna.
That's like when we got banned from YouTube, we had a friend, Karen Candlin, another talk show host, and she's like, "I'm as bad as you guys. How come I'm not banned?" It's like, well, I don't know. So, Todd, listen, we'll let you get back in there. Thanks to you and all
of you. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, for coming on.
Of course, guys.
All right. And keep us posted if anything happens, okay?
I will. Thanks. See you guys.
All right. That's Todd Watkins, Vice Chair of
El Paso County.
That's
right. And down there with a ton of people. Well, that's good news if they're going to back off on that. You got to wonder.
Well, you don't know. As you said, they're pretty tricky.
Right. And it'll come back in another form. I think they don't particularly care, you know, very much, obviously, what the voters think. But hey, wanted to talk about something else. And one of the people know, feel free, if you want to call in 888-627-6008, unmute yourself and go ahead and talk if you're here on Zoom. And we'll read the comments in the comment section too. But I wanted to talk a little bit about AI, because I've just been fascinated by this recently. And so I've been doing some research and everyone is talking about it lately. And so I wanted to do a little bit of explainer and also kind of get some conversation going about what you guys think. But in general, the way I understand it, and Chuck, sometimes you know way more about this stuff than me, there's sort of explainable AI, which is where the programmer, you know, programs in essentially limits, puts it in, and you can tell how the program has come to its conclusion or its outreach, right? Oh, Chuck, are you there? Are you? No, Chuck is at the newspaper office. So I think he's doing. But then there's another type of AI called black box AI. And that is AI that has progressed to a point where the programmers have no idea why it's doing what it's doing or how it's doing it. It's just kind of out there doing it by itself. And I think that's one of the things that people are alarmed about. But there were a couple of guys on 60 Minutes from Google, the CEO and another executive, who kind of talk about this black box AI, which I think is something we all need to be concerned about. So Thomas, if we could please play the black box AI soundbite.
We discovered that with very few amounts of prompting in Bengali, it can now translate all of Bengali. So now all of a sudden, we now have a research effort where we're now trying to get to 1,000 languages.
There is an aspect of this which we call, all of us in the field, call it as a black box. You know, you don't fully understand and you can't quite tell why it said this or why it got wrong. We have some ideas. And our ability to understand this gets better over time. But that's where the state of the art is.
You don't fully understand how it works, and yet you've turned it loose on society?
Yeah, let me put it this way. I don't think we fully understand how a human mind works either.
No. There are a bunch of things to take apart there. I mean, I thought that was a great question by Scott Pelley from 60 Minutes, right? So wait, so we have these computer programs out there, AI systems, not really computer programs, that are doing stuff that we have no idea why they're doing or what they're doing. But that first guy was explaining.
Or how they're doing,
how they're doing it.
A couple calls in Bengali and all of a sudden have learned the entire language.
Yeah, and it has no idea why it decided to learn the entire language or how it learned the entire language.
We don't understand how humans do it because babies and everyone else learns, you know, a language. And by a certain age, they're fluent in that language. No effort. They have made no effort to have to do that. And then that happens except for the most, you know, badly mentally damaged.
That's a perfect point, Chuck, which segues into my next point. So trying to excuse it away there and say, we don't understand lots of things. So we don't understand how AI works, the black box AI works and why it works the way it does and what else it's going to do. Because we don't understand the human mind, right? But the human mind, I mean, in general, although there are lots of people who are much smarter than other people, in general, though, there's sort of an average kind of intelligence. There is no super human being who understands and is so much more powerful than everybody else and can like manipulate us and do stuff. And that's what Elon Musk was talking about when he was saying to Tucker Carlson, we need to have regulations. That's what he worries about. If we could please play the Elon Musk soundbite.
So all of a sudden, AI is everywhere. People who weren't quite sure what it was are playing with it on their phones. Is that good or bad?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about AI for a long time, since I was in college, really. It's one of the things that, the sort of four or five things I thought would really affect the future dramatically. It is fundamentally profound in that the smartest creatures, as far as we know, on this Earth are humans, is our defining characteristic.
Yes.
We obviously... weaker than, say, chimpanzees, less agile, but real smarter. So now what happens when something vastly smarter than the smartest person comes along in silicon form? It's very difficult to predict what will happen in that circumstance. It's called the singularity. It's, you know, a singularity like a black hole, because yes. you don't know what happens after that. It's hard to predict. So I think we should be cautious with AI, and we should, I think there should be some government oversight, because it affects it's a danger to the public.
Yeah, and there are a bunch of things I want to talk about there. So what's interesting, and when you do the research, there are many who think that AI is already vastly smarter than any of us, right? That it's not something that's coming. And when he talks about the singularity, when you do some research on it, what they talk about is one of the main limiting factors of AI is sort of the technical capabilities of the servers or the computers they're on, right? But now you have AI systems trying to design better computers. As soon as you get better computers, well, then you're going to get faster, smarter AI, which is going to design even better computers. And pretty soon we're going to have this entire AI system operating at ways we don't even begin to understand, right? And I think there are clearly, at least to me, some inherent cautions in that, right? Elon Musk was saying that he wants to develop an AI that wants to investigate life forms in the universe or something. So he says, and therefore they would instinctively, the AI would automatically value human life so they wouldn't get rid of us, right? Because there are a lot of people, including I think Stephen Hawking, are like, look, AI is going to get rid of us. But, you know, go watch the Terminator. He didn't say that, but they said AI, you know, extinction is a possibility here. But my problem with that is, again, I watch too much science fiction, but he should go watch the V'ger Star Trek one where V'ger describes humans as carbon-based units infesting the spaceship and wants to get rid of them like termites. It's like, why do we assume that some AI super system that we have no concept of how it works or what it's doing or what it's going to do next, how can we assume that it would somehow feel that we were of value to it, right? I mean, that seems kind of, but here's my other question to you, Chuck. In terms of government regulation, number one, do we think we want like Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Nadler, I mean, Adam Schiff, even Jim Jordan, you know, people who probably, you know, can't even work the remote controls on their TV, figuring out how to deal with AI? I mean, I don't see how you regulate it.
Well, and if you do regulate it in North Korea, they'll be creating their own AI god, or China. And, you know, all our regulations on viruses, and what do? We give money to create super viruses to kill ourselves. the chances, I hate it. You're fascinated by AI, and I hate it because there's no question that movies like The Matrix, Space
Terminator,
Odyssey, Terminator, Space Odyssey 2001, AI will destroy us. Now, maybe the happy part is before AI destroys us, we'll destroy ourselves in an aftermath of the Ukraine war. So you can have that happy one that we'll do AI a favor and destroy ourselves. We're very, very excellent at that. But there's no question that AI will take over. And some mad Frankenstein scientist will not be care what the U.S. regulations on AI are.
Right.
The Chinese didn't care about the prohibitions that we did hear about having super viruses and creating.
Don't put out viruses that are going to wipe out the population.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, we want to see what it look like. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll get some asshole like Fauci, who will be in charge of AI decide that it is inevitable. If we don't destroy ourselves soon enough, AI will destroy us.
Well, and I think
I never find it very enlightening
to talk about it
because I really do believe it's.
What, does somebody want to weigh in here? Is that Barney?
AI? Is that you?
Yeah. No, it's Jacob.
I thought it was AI.
Anyway,
a radio program.
How many people? I knew a guy who was the chief chemist over at Trinity site when they tested the atomic bomb, there was a bet going on. A third of them thought that the chain reaction would never end and it would blow up the world. And then there was one that said it was limited to half the hemisphere. And then there was one that was limited to the area, to Trinity. And you always have this scared part where people go and say, well, if they blow up the bomb and we blow up the world, what good was it? But they went ahead with it anyway. And I think that's what's going to happen with AI. That's what they're going to do.
Well, and there's some...
Yeah, you're right. There was a fear that you'd start a chain reaction that would be unlimited. And they did it anyway. Oh, well, that's a risk.
Yeah.
That's a risk.
We're trying to think that won't happen, but we can make a lot of money off this. Well, and Jacob, you're right. And in fairness, too, there are some people, it seems to me like some of the community is split, the AI community, that seem to feel that, no, that wouldn't happen, that there are sort of natural limitations within it so that it won't ever be smarter than us. But while I've got you, were you the one who sent me the email from the HD4 person?
Yeah, about being host. Yeah.
Yes. This is fun. So Jacob sent me an email. He was invited to the Democrat person's HD4 town hall. This is hilarious. Tell everybody what the email said.
It says we're going to be hosing you at our next meeting on, I think it was on June 15th or May 15th or something. Yeah. hold on one second, I'll pull it up.
Okay, I think they meant to say something else. Although, as I replied to you,
it's a Democrat governor. They probably did mean.
Yeah, they've been going. Yeah.
We'll be hosing you. Funny.
Yeah, you really got to check your emails before you send them out. You know? so that's. Oh no, I sent it through my phone. But anyway, yeah, it said that. You're invited to be to our next party, which will be hosing at the Capitol in the basement.
Yeah,
I don't know what that was. Yeah, I just can't find. Yeah, it was on my phone. I can't find it right now.
Okay, well, that's right. That was just cracking me up. It was a Freudian slip there. Hey, Jacob, thank you for weighing in. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Bye.
But you know, and Chuck, you said something. There is something inherently, and I try to be optimistic about people, but that is where it's like, well, maybe this will, you know, cause a chain reaction that destroys the entire Earth. But let's just give it a shot. It's
try. You know, it may not work at all, or it may destroy the world, or maybe we'll just get a limited explosion. But
I gotta wonder if these AI people too, if maybe part of what they're doing is they're like, we need to limit the Microsoft AI. We don't want to limit the Google AI, or we don't want to limit the Amazon AI. You got what's going on,
well,
but it does
Russian
seem to...
AI and the Chinese AI. I mean, soon it'll be the Russian AI versus the American AI.
And I do think that we do have this optimistic thing of we'll always be able to figure it out. But this sounds, I just think this is something we all need to educate ourselves on because it's fun and it's handy and it's kind of like the internet, right? There's mixed blessings and, you know, and good things and bad things about it. And you got to wonder if we had stopped and thought about the internet, what could we have done, if anything? But with this, it's like, if we have artificial intelligence systems that are controlling, you think of it, I mean, you have a smart TV. What if AI decided that it didn't like Yellowstone, right? And all of a sudden it started prohibiting us from watching Yellowstone and we didn't even know why it didn't like Yellowstone or how it was doing it. I mean, that's just a silly example, but I think it is, you know, worth looking into. And then meanwhile, there is this whole, I'll read a couple of comments. I don't want to play this other interesting aspect. Oh, from Charlene, they must have known Jacob was a conservative. And then Jacob says, along with the Trinity atom bomb testing, the testing resulted in hottest man-made high surface temperature at 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit. You talk about climate change. That's pretty funny too. But there's another thing. So what's come up with this AI, a guy, which is copyright kind of issues. So some guy on the internet, maybe a girl on the internet, a ghostwriter, took the voices of two, Drake and The Weeknd, two very popular musicians, and told AI, you know, gave him examples of their music. And the AI program, Drake AI, it's called, wrote a song, played the song, and then went ahead and recorded it in what sounds like their voices. I found a funny bite with these two rapper guys on YouTube talking about this, but they play a little bit of the music. Jacob, if we could please play the Drake AI soundbite.
Be David Ruffin?
No, because don't turn it to David Ruffin.
Hey, listen, what if you was a rapper?
Yeah.
And the AI version of you was better than you?
Then he gonna have to run the fade.
I'm scared, nigga. This ain't Drake. She knows what she needs, all I need, all she blessed. Ayy, give it my best. Ayy, got my heart, I'ma save you with a knife in my back. Drake, make this song, man.
See, no, I'm not a Drake fan, but apparently in looking at all this stuff, you would think it was Drake. In the meantime, too, what's interesting is a YouTube guy, or the guy is making a ton of money playing this because people are clicking on it, sometimes thinking it's Drake or just to see it. But what happened is they pulled it down off of Twitter because they complained and they said, well, it's a copyright violation. But Chuck, you're a lawyer. I could see where it'd be a copyright violation if I took their actual songs and put them together and called it my song. But how is it a copyright violation if it is the machine made the music, right? The computer made the music. It's not their actual voices. The computer synthesized something to sound like their voices. So how is that a copyright violation?
Well, it wouldn't matter how you did it. It's the fact that you're using machine to take their copyrighted materials and do it. Pretty soon the machine will have all the copyrights and will be prohibited from
well, and then Thomas asked, well, you took their likeness, right? Well, no, because the video you saw, like the little guy with the goggles, the ghost thing, that was the only video. So they don't show Drake or The Weeknd, right? And they call it Drake AI. And you're right. Well, that becomes another question. You know, can you copyright the machine stuff? I just think it's interesting. I mean, the law is nowhere near where it needs to be with this. And I could see if you're like, I've been reading in Hollywood Reporter where they're worried about it because all the script writers are like, well, wait a minute. You know, all these people are like, and you can have character generated actresses. Like, why do we have to deal with crabby actresses or petulant screenwriters when we can just go to our phone and have ChatGPT write our script? Or, you know, why pay some guy an exorbitant amount of money to write music, you know, for Avatar Part 3 when we can just have, you know, some AI program write it?
Well, the copyright trials for musicians who sue one another, at least the people who own the copyright and so forth, they're almost pretty funny because really, as said, there's really only, you know, within three notes, there's only one song.
Yeah.
I mean, and some version of that one song, we just keep on replaying and slightly different versions of it. But it's sort of funny when, you know, what goes into your brain, you hear all this music and so forth, and then one day something comes to you and you say, okay, you've amalgamated this and something comes out. But it's really, you're violating the copyright of 100 people whose
right.
mind that you took it from
and
creates a new one.
This brings up, Thomas brings up the question, are our voices our own? Do we have a copyright to our voices? And I believe we do, right?
That's an interesting question.
Well, I guess it depends on how. I don't know. I guess it depends on how.
You can't have a copyright on your voice, but I suppose there's some other theft or appropriation when they use your voice. Although you see, you know, John Wayne imitations. I guess as long as it's not, you don't think it's John Wayne, but
sort of fair user. Well, yeah, I would imagine, like I said, it probably would be some kind of copyright violation if you took, say, Lady Gaga's songs and edited it together with her actual voice to make a new song. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. It's interesting. It just shows how, you know, and technology, I think, is exploding so fast. It seems to me that it's probably a little late to say, should we be putting the brakes on AI like all these tech people are saying? It's like, I don't even understand how you would do that, right?
Well, you can't because as I said, you can do all you want to regulate it here in the United States. You think the North Koreans go, oh, we better not do this.
Right. Okay, Jacob found the email. It says, hi, Jacob. We'd love it if you would consider joining us and the rest of HD4 at the Capitol on Monday, April 24th. Our state representative, Serena Gonzalez Gutierrez, will be hosing us. Which is true. Don't hesitate to reach out. We're looking.
Your governor, Jared Polis, will be hosing you.
Our representative will be hosing you. So that's great, Jacob. Thank you. Well, okay. Wanted to talk about, there are a couple other things too. The Fox lawsuit, right?
Depressing.
Well, okay, your take. So Fox settled with Dominion for like $587
million. $700 million something.
Was it there? Okay. I predicted they would settle because they always do.
Well, everybody did because you can't just risk it. But I mean, it's really, you know, that's sort of the end of the First Amendment when you can't comment on a lawsuit. I mean, it should have been thrown out as protected by the First Amendment, but only Democrat speech is protected by the First Amendment, as we all know.
Right. It's annoying to me just the bias of the judge that rather than, I mean, truth is a defense in a libel case, right? And the judge just unilaterally declared that the comments about the election, even though demonstrably many of them were true, right, that the comments about it were false.
More and more, the judges have figured out that, you know, the juries are pesky, but as long as you get rid of all the defenses of the defendant or otherwise limit what they can testify to, you can get the result you want most of the time. And that's what a lot of the judges are. I mean, we had a lawsuit over in Arapahoe County, and the judge said, okay, we won't allow you any of this evidence. And you kind of go, but it's incredibly germane.
Yeah.
And they went, yeah, but it'd be prejudicial. Prejudicial only in the effect that a jury would justify.
Well, and then you again, and I can see why if you're a Fox lawyer and the liberal media are gloating, saying, aha, it proves that they're wrong. But if you're a Fox lawyer and you have the judge saying, the stuff that you put on was, I mean, that's the question for the jury, right? Not the judge. But you know you're screwed, right? The host, like yes. Representative, you know,
yes.
Gonzalez Gutierrez. It's so, I mean, you would have to turn around and go to the client. We can't win with this judge, pretty much, right?
Right, right.
But what's interesting is you got to wonder, it sets in, like you said, the First Amendment. Because I believe Trump is suing people because you did have these other media organizations that for years had people talking about the Hunter Biden laptop being a Russian disinformation. You had them talking about the Russia hoax, the DNC server being hacked, things like that, things that we now know and can prove and everyone admits were lies. And so if Fox could be sued for having people talking about the election, you would think that they would want to shut up. Of course, they won't, because then somebody could Trump could turn around and sue them, right?
Or you think he could sue Mueller, even though prosecutors have unlimited immunity, saying that you know, it's obvious you knew it was a hoax, and then you wrote this whole thing where you just basically said you couldn't indict Trump when you knew, in fact, that the whole thing was just made up.
Right.
But you know, it's amazing stuff. It's amazing stuff.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I mean, some of the Alex Berenson, who writes a lot about the COVID stuff, pointed this out. He said, look, he said, I don't agree with Fox about the election stuff. I don't agree with Trump. I mean, you know, he's a liberal, but he said, but it does seem that, you know, on the one hand, they're gleefully saying, ha, 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 Fox, you know, had to settle the lawsuit when they could turn around and be sued for much more. I mean, for all the COVID stuff, you know, every time they had Fauci on saying masks work. But I think one of the things here again, you know, we've talked about Anna being over the target. They went into a great deal attacking her because she was involved in the election integrity project. It's like,
we
cannot have election integrity. Anyone who's involved in any kind of election integrity movement must be trashed because we can't have election
QAnon
integrity.
People.
They're QAnon. Yeah,
I mean,
and
no
it's
one
like,
talks about QAnon but Democrats. You know, somebody accused Peter Boyles of being a QAnon one, and I think somebody at Colorado Polls or something, and I said, well, that's good, because then Peter, you'd be the first QAnon supporter I've ever met.
Well, you're right, and only Democrat. That's what he said. Anna was a QAnon supporter. It's like it's kind of like, what does that even mean anymore, right? It's
nothing.
Kind of it's like threat to democracy, and you're like, QAnon was so 2016, right? I mean, no one even talks about the only people, though, they bring it up, and like somehow that's the boogeyman, QAnon, you know?
It's QAnon.
Like,
ooh.
There's nothing going on there. But so I think you're right. I mean, they attacked Trump They attack Anna. And the fact that, you know, I know it's not fun when you're being attacked like that. But if, you know, if you're Anna Ferguson and then Dave Williams in the Colorado Republican Party, you know you're over the target then, because otherwise they wouldn't be shooting so hard at you, I think. Or well, it's just a really slow news day. But well, yeah, not a news day, but
there's that old saying that the only luck you have is bad luck. And it's if you're a Republican, the only publicity you're going to get is bad publicity. I mean, there is no other kind.
Mm-hmm.
Just bad luck and it's bad publicity, except everybody's used to it, as the person we went to lunch with, that now they have a whole other group that read their stuff and go, oh, that must be a great person. Wow, I love those people.
Yeah, it's like if you're being attacked by them. Well, and I think Republicans, and I think Trump showed the way, and DeSantis has done a good job with this too, I will say, and just trashing the media back. And Carrie Lake is the best, right? Yeah, I mean, yeah. She's like, you know, why are you NBC? Why are you even talking? She had a picture today. She ran into Morning Joe and Mika at the airport, oh, and Mika immediately started taping her and calling her a liar. And she's like, what? What about the airport? I mean, you know, the more freaked out they get about you, the more right you know you are. And and again, it's harder and harder for them to force people to cancel people. You know, again, the Budweiser thing is just, you know, people aren't backing down on that. People aren't saying, oh, I guess they put out that nice horse commercial, so we'll stop. Yeah,
they brought the tranny horse out, so we can do that.
Well, one other thing too, because we're getting kind of close to the end of the show, you talked about this, and this the internet can be a force for good. There was a young woman from Highlands Ranch, but who went to Texas, a school in Texas. Okay, but she was at the Masters, and she was in the back of one of the shots with John Rahm
on the 17th hole, the 16th hole, which is a par three, and they had the. John Rahm and who was the
Brooks
Koepka and so forth. So they had those two big, and she was behind them. And both of us know. Hey, she seems an attractive.
She looked just like a very all American. I mean, she looked cute. I mean, I remember thinking when I saw her, oh, that's a cute girl. And so she has now rocketed to stardom, has gotten a modeling gig, and they're taking pictures of her golfing. She's apparently got a pretty good golf swing. But if we could please play the Masters girl tape. So this is a nice story.
A female Masters fan who went viral for her excitement as she stood behind John Rahm and Brooks Koepka as they battled for the green jacket in the final round on Sunday has been identified. Aliyah Kikimoto outed herself as the fan who stood in the gallery just inches behind Koepka and Rahm. She went viral on TikTok during the round as the page Double Bogeys Only posted about her. Somehow, I feel in love with someone I only saw for 15 seconds, the caption on the video read. Fans quickly identified the woman as Kikimoto. She also wrote in the comments section, "That's me." The video garnered more than 3 million views as of Tuesday. According to the New York Post, Kikimoto was at Augusta National with her father. Her mother was also excited about seeing her husband and daughter at the course for the epic final round. Yay! Repping Texas Tech. Go TTU Palms. So proud of my hubby at Charles Kikimoto and TTU Palms' daughter Aliyah. AJ Kikimoto wrote on Twitter, Aliyah Kikimoto is a part of the Texas Tech Palms squad. The dance team consists of trained dancers whose styles consist of PM, jazz, hip-hop and contemporary lyrical. According to the squad's website, alumni of the team have gone on to dance for the Dallas Cowboys, Dallas Mavericks, Houston Rockets, Houston Texans, New York Jets and Kansas City Chiefs.
And then it goes on. That was a little bit probably that was an AI generated narration, I think. But it was she was adorable, and people were able to use the power.
Well, it was interesting, you know, her kind of that kind of all American girl smile, and it was a little geeky, I guess, maybe, you know. Somehow that's so much more compelling and likable that are sort of vampy poses as the Texas Tech Pom-pom dancers.
You know, you look at all the influencers, the Kardashians or people who post sleazy pictures of themselves and barely dressed or something like that. And yeah, this girl, well, she's not a girl, she's a young woman who just looked cute. You know, she just looked like the all-American girl, looked cute. And all of a sudden, like everybody watching the Masters was falling in love with her, going, oh, you know, she's adorable. And good for her, she landed some kind of modeling gig too. So
well,
who knows?
I think she's going to get a lot more. I mean, you know. What is it, Paige Veronica, whoever it is, who was a
wasn't
a very good golfer. I mean, she's a very good, you know, to be influencer. A pro, but right. She gave it up and so forth. Now makes a fortune. And so I think Masters girl will also.
So I think here's what our plan should be, Chuck. We need to start going to golf tournaments wearing cute little hats and I'll try, you know, and wigs or something like that, and stand in the back of the gallery and try to go viral. I don't know.
There are a lot of people who have done that. And the trouble is, nobody cares. As they said there, it is great to see her and her dad. Nobody saw her dad. If he was there, I didn't see him. I mean, but apparently her and her dad were there. And so, anyway. We went there. With our cute hats and everything else.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't get a modeling contract.
I don't know. And the best part about it, she wasn't vamping for the camera.
No, uh-uh.
She wasn't kind of trying to make sure she got her face in. But I promise you, if she makes good money at this, the strip bar is going to be empty as people will be going behind this 16th hole, the Masters, and Hey, me.
To get on. Hey, listen, that's going to wrap it up for us today. We want to Monday, we're going to have Dr. Brian Junedeb. He wrote a great column on this ChatGPT. You're going to want to listen to that. And I don't want to give it away because there's a surprise ending there. But that's going to
saying there's a surprise ending gives it away, Julie.
Oh, sorry. Well, I would set up the surprise is. Not what the surprise is. All right, Chuck.
Well, you have a surprise for you tomorrow. You go, oh, it's my birthday. Oh, it's a surprise birthday.
Anticipation. I like knowing there's a surprise because then you can anticipate it. That's kind of fun. Anyway, thank you to Todd for coming on. All of you guys on Zoom, we love you. Remember, you can catch links to our show on every format imaginable, except YouTube, at chuckandjulie.com. Thank you to the guys at BBS. And I guess that's it till Party Friday.
And go, Anna. Go, Anna. Yeah.
All right, you guys are off the air. And then, yeah, so I don't know what happened, but our power tripped for just about like 2 minutes. So we are going to lose about 2 minutes of the recording. I apologize for that. I got back as quick as I could, but.
That's all right. No worries. That's what I kind of figured might have happened. It was like it went out. And I'm like, well, it was weird. And then it came back. So.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
No, but it's AI. It's the AI doing that to us. So.
Yeah,
my dad and uncle just discovered it the other day, and now they won't stop talking about it.
We're all going crazy. Only Chuck doesn't like it because he thinks we're all doomed anyway. Hey, listen, thank you, Tom. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Yep. See you guys on Friday. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. Bye, everybody on Zoom. Bye, Chuck.
Bye, Julie.